And as soon as he gets out of sight, we can hurry away in the other direction, and Tigger will never see any of us again.
Not never?
Well, not until we find him again, Piglet. Tomorrow, or whenever it is. Come on, he's waiting for us.
When they got to Kanga's house, they found that Roo was waiting too, being a great friend of Tigger's, which made it awkward.
Leave this to me, Pooh. I don't think Roo had better come, Kanga. Not today.
Why not?
Well, it was a nasty, cold day, and you were coughing this morning.
How do you know?
Oh, Roo, you never told me.
It was a biscuit cough. Not one you tell about.
I think not today, dear. Another day.
Well, tomorrow?
We'll see.
You're always seeing and nothing ever happens.
Nobody could see on a day like this, Roo. I don't expect we shall get very far. And then this afternoon we'll all... Well, we'll all... Tigger! There you are! Come on! Goodbye, Roo. This afternoon we'll... come on, Pooh. All ready? That's right.
So they went. At first, Pooh and Rabbit and Piglet walked together, and Tigger ran round them in circles. And then, when the path got narrower, Rabbit, Piglet and Pooh walked one after another, and Tigger ran round them in oblongs. And by, when the gorse got very prickly on either side of the path, Tigger ran up and down in front of them, and sometimes he bounced into Rabbit, and sometimes he didn't. And as they got higher, the mist got thicker, so that Tigger kept disappearing. And then when you thought he wasn't there, there he was again, saying...
I say, come on!
And before you could say anything, there he wasn't.
The next time, Piglet, tell Pooh.
The next time, Pooh.
The next what?
Tigger appeared suddenly, bounced into Rabbit and disappeared again.
Now!
Rabbit jumped into a hollow by the side of the path, and Pooh and Piglet jumped after them. They crouched in the bracken, listening. The forest was very silent when you stopped and listened to it. They could see nothing and hear nothing.
Whoosh! I am.
Hello!
Tigger sounded so close that Piglet would have jumped if Pooh hadn't accidentally been sitting on most of him.
Where are you?
Rabbit nudged Pooh, and Pooh looked about him for Piglet to nudge, but couldn't find him. And Piglet went on breathing wet bracken as quietly as he could, and feeling very brave and excited.
That's funny.
For a little longer they waited, until the forest had become so still that it almost frightened them. And then Rabbit got up and stretched himself.
Well, there we are, just as I said.
I've been thinking, and I think...
No, that... come on. Now we can talk. What were you going to say, Pooh?
Well, nothing much. Why are we going along here?
Because it's the way home.
Oh.
I think it's more to the right. What do you think, Pooh?
Pooh looked at his two paws. He knew that one of them was the right, and he knew that when you had decided which one of them was the right, then the other one was the left. But he could never remember how to begin.
Well...
Come on! I know it's this way.
They went on. 10 minutes later, they stopped again.
It's very silly, but just for the moment, I... Ah, of course. Come on.
10 minutes later?
No, we're not,
10 minutes later?
Now, I think we ought to be getting, Or are we a little bit more to the right than I thought?
10 minutes later?
It's a funny thing how everything looks the same in the mist. Have you noticed it, Pooh?
Yes, I have.
Half an hour later.
Lucky we know the forest so well, or we might get lost.
Pooh?
Yes, Piglet?
Nothing. Just give me your paw. I just wanted to be sure of you.
When Tigger had finished waiting for the others to catch him up, and they hadn't, and when he had got tired of having nobody to say...
I say, come on!
...to, he thought he would go home. So he trotted back. And the first thing Kanga said when she saw him was...
There's a good Tigger. You're just in time for your strengthening medicine.
I've had mine.
So have I.
Then he and Roo pushed each other about in a friendly way, and Tigger accidentally knocked over one or two chairs by accident, and Roo accidentally knocked over one on purpose, and Kanga said,
"Now then, run along."
"Where should we run along to?"
"You can go and collect some fir cones for me. Here's a basket each."
So they went to the six pine trees and threw fir cones at each other until they had forgotten what they came for. And they left the baskets under the trees and went back to dinner. And it was just as they were finishing dinner that Christopher Robin put his head in at the door.
"Where's Pooh?"
"Tigger, dear, where's Pooh?"
Tigger explained what had happened at the same time that Roo was explaining about his biscuit cough, and Kanga was telling them both not to talk at once, so it was some time before Christopher Robin guessed that Pooh and Piglet and Rabbit were all lost in the mist on the top of the forest.
"It's a funny thing about Tiggers, how Tiggers never get lost."
"Why don't they, Tigger?"
"They just don't. That's how it is."
"Well, we shall have to go and find them, that's all. Come on, Tigger."
"I shall have to go and find them, Roo."
"Oh, may I find them too?"
"I think not today, dear. Another day."
"Well, if they're lost tomorrow, may I find them?"
"We'll see."
Roo, who knew what that meant, went into a corner and practiced jumping out at himself, partly because he wanted to practice this, and partly because he didn't want Christopher Robin and Tigger to think that he minded when they went off without him.
"The fact is, we've missed our way somehow."
They were having a rest in a small sand pit on the top of the forest. Pooh was getting rather tired of that sand pit and suspected it of following them about, because whichever direction they started in, they always ended up at it, and each time, as it came through the mist at them, Rabbit said triumphantly,
"Now I know where we are."
"So do I."
Piglet said nothing. He had tried to think of something to say, but the only thing he could think of was,
"Help! Help!"
And it seemed silly to say that, when he had Pooh and Rabbit with him. After a long silence, in which nobody thanked him for the nice walk they were having, Rabbit said,
"Well, we'd better get on, I suppose. Which way shall we try?"
"How would it be if, as soon as we're out of sight of this pit, we try to find it again?"
"What's the good of that?"
"Well, we keep looking for home and not finding it, so I thought that if we looked for this pit, we'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because then we might find something that we weren't looking for, which might be just what we were looking for, really."
"I don't see much sense in that."
"No, there isn't. But there was going to be when I began it. It's just that something happened to it on the way."
"If I walked away from this pit and then walked back to it, of course I should find it."
"Well, I thought perhaps you wouldn't. Just thought."
"Try. We'll wait here for you."
"Very well. We'll see how foolish you are."
Thereupon, Rabbit walked off into the mist. After he had gone 100 yards, he turned and walked back again. And after Pooh and Piglet had waited 20 minutes for him, Pooh got up.
"I just thought. Now then, Piglet, let's go home."
"But Pooh, do you know the way?"
"No, but there are 12 pots of honey in my cupboard, and they've been calling to me for hours. I couldn't hear them properly before, because Rabbit would talk. But if nobody says anything except those 12 pots, I think, Piglet, I shall know where they're coming from. Come on."
They walked off together, and for a long time Piglet said nothing, so as not to interrupt the pots. And then suddenly he made a squeaky noise. And an ooh noise.
Ooh.
Because now he knew where he was, but he still didn't dare to say so out loud in case he wasn't. And just when he was getting so sure of himself that it didn't matter whether the pots went on calling or not, there was a shout from in front of them, and out of the mist came Christopher Robin.
"Oh, there you are."
"Here we are."
"Where's Rabbit?"
"I don't know."
"Oh, well, I expect Tigger will find him. He's sort of looking for you all."
"Well, I've got to go home for something, and so has Piglet, because we haven't had it yet, and..."
"I'll come and watch you."
So he went home with Pooh and watched him for quite a long time. And all the time he was watching, Tigger was tearing round the forest, making loud yapping noises for Rabbit. And at last, a very small and sorry Rabbit heard him. And the small and sorry Rabbit rushed through the mist at the noise, and it suddenly turned into Tigger, a friendly Tigger, a grand Tigger, a large and helpful Tigger, a Tigger who bounced if he bounced at all in just the beautiful way a Tigger ought to bounce.
Oh, Tigger! I am glad to see you!
Story 8, in which Piglet does a very grand thing.
Halfway between Pooh's house and Piglet's house was a thoughtful spot where they met sometimes when they had decided to go and see each other. And as it was warm and out of the wind, they would sit down there for a little and wonder what they would do now that they had seen each other. One day, when they had decided not to do anything, Pooh made up a verse about it so that everybody would know what the place was for.
This warm and sunny spot belongs to Pooh. And here he wonders what he's going to do. Oh, bother, I forgot. It's Piglet's too.
Quite right.
Now, one autumn morning, when the wind had blown all the leaves off the trees in the night and was trying to blow the branches off, Pooh and Piglet were sitting in the thoughtful spot and wondering...
What I think is we'll go to Pooh Corner and see Eeyore, because perhaps his house has been blown down, and perhaps he'd like us to build it again.
What I think is, I think we'll go and see Christopher Robin, only he won't be there, so we can't.
Let's go and see everybody, because when you've been walking in the wind for miles, and you suddenly go into somebody's house, and he says, "Hello, Pooh, you're just in time for a little smackerel of something," and you are, then it's what I call a friendly day.
But we ought to have a reason for going to see everybody, like looking for Small or organising an expedition, if Pooh could think of something.
We'll go because it's Thursday, and we'll go to wish everybody a very happy Thursday. Come on, Piglet.
They got up. And when Piglet had sat down again because he didn't know the wind was so strong and had been helped up by Pooh, they started off. They went to Pooh's house first, and luckily Pooh was at home just as they got there. So he asked them in, and they had some, and then they went on to Kanga's house, holding on to each other and shouting...
Isn't it?
And...
What?
And...
I can't hear!
By the time they got to Kanga's house, they were so buffeted that they stayed to lunch. Just at first, it seemed rather cold outside afterwards, so they pushed on to Rabbit as quickly as they could. After Pooh had gone in and out once or twice just to make sure that he could get out again, he said,
"We've come to wish you a very happy Thursday."
"Why? What's going to happen on Thursday?"
"Well, the thing about Thursdays is... well, that's Thursdays for you, Rabbit."
"Oh, I thought you'd really come about something..."
So Pooh and Piglet sat down for a little, and by and by Pooh and Piglet went on again. The wind was behind them now, so they didn't have to shout.
Rabbit's clever.
Yes, Rabbit's clever.
And he has brain.
Yes, Rabbit has brain.
I suppose that's why he never understands anything.
Christopher Robin was at home by this time, because it was the afternoon, and he was so glad to see them that they stayed there until very nearly tea time. And then they had a very nearly tea, which is one you forget about afterwards, and hurried on to Pooh Corner, so as to see Eeyore before it was too late to have a proper tea with Owl.
"Hello, Eeyore."
"Ah, lost your way."
"We just came to see you and to see how your house was. Look, Pooh is still standing."
"I know. Very odd. Somebody ought to have come down and pushed it over."
"We wondered whether the wind would blow it down."
"Ah. That's why nobody's bothered, I suppose. I thought perhaps they'd forgotten."
"Well, we're very glad to see you, Eeyore. And now we're going on to see Owl."
"That's right. You'll like Owl. He flew past a day or two ago and noticed me. He didn't actually say anything, mind you, but he knew it was me. Very friendly of him, I thought. Encouraging."
Well, goodbye.
"We must be on our way, Eeyore."
"Goodbye. Mind you, don't get blown away, little Piglet. You'd be missed. People would say, where's little Piglet been blown to? Really wanting to know. Well, goodbye. And thank you for happening to pass me.
Goodbye.
The wind was against them now, and Piglet's ears streamed behind him like banners as he fought his way along, and it seemed hours before he got them into the shelter of the 100-acre wood, and they stood up straight again to listen, a little nervously, to the roaring of the gale among the treetops.
Supposing a tree fell down, Pooh, when we were underneath it?
Supposing it didn't?
Piglet was comforted by this. And in a little while they were knocking and ringing very cheerfully at Owl's door.
Hello, Owl. I hope we're not too late for... how are you, Owl?
Ooh.
Piglet and I just came to see how you were because it's Thursday.
Sit down, Pooh. Sit down, Piglet. Make yourselves comfortable.
Thank you, Owl.
Thank you, Owl. We will.
Because, you see, Owl, we've been hurrying so as to be in time for the... so as to see you before we went away again.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but am I right in supposing that it is a very blusterous day outside?
Oh, very.
I thought so. It was on just such a blusterous day as this that my Uncle Robert, a portrait of whom you see upon the wall on your right, Piglet, while returning in the late forenoon from our... What's that?
Look out! Mind the clock! Out of the way, Piglet! Piglet, I'm falling on you!
Pooh's side of the room was slowly tilting upwards, and his chair began sliding down on Piglet's. The clock slithered gently along the mantelpiece, collecting vases on the way, until they all crashed together onto what had once been the floor, but was now trying to see what it looked like as a wall. Uncle Robert, who was going to be the new hearthrug, and was bringing the rest of his wall with him as carpet, met Piglet's chair just as Piglet was expecting to leave it, and for a little while it became very difficult to remember which was really the north. Owl's room collected itself feverishly, and there was silence.
In a corner of the room, the tablecloth began to wriggle. Then it wrapped itself into a ball and rolled across the room. Then it jumped up and down once or twice and put out two ears. It rolled across the room again and unwound itself.
Pooh?
Yes?
Where are we?
I'm not quite sure.
Are we in Owl's house?
I think so, because we were just going to have tea and we hadn't had it.
Oh. Well, did Owl always have a letterbox in his ceiling?
Has he?
Yes, look.
I can't. I'm face downwards under something. And that, Piglet, is a very bad position for looking at ceilings.
Well, he has, Pooh.
Perhaps he's changed it, just for a change.
There was a disturbance behind the table in the other corner of the room, and Owl was with them again.
Ah, Piglet, where's Pooh?
I'm not quite sure.
Pooh, did you do that?
No, I don't think so.
Then who did?
I think it was the wind. I think your house is blown down.
Oh, is that it? I thought it was Pooh.
No.
If it was the wind, then it wasn't Pooh's fault. No blame can be attached to him.
With these kind words, he flew up to look at his new ceiling.
Piglet?
Yes, Pooh.
What did he say was attached to me?
He said he didn't blame you.
Oh, I thought he meant... Ah, I see.
Owl, come down and help Pooh.
Owl, who was admiring his letterbox, flew down again. Together they pushed and pulled at the armchair, and in a little while Pooh came out from underneath and was able to look round him again.
Well, this is a nice state of things.
What are we going to do, Pooh? Can you think of anything?
Well, I had just thought of something. It was just a little thing I thought of. I lay on my chest, and I thought it best to pretend I was having an evening rest. I lay on my tum, and I tried to hum, but nothing particular seemed to come. My face was flat on the floor, and that is all very well for an acrobat, but it doesn't seem fair to a friendly bear to stiffen him out with a basket chair. And a sort of squoze which grows and grows is not too nice for his poor old nose. And a sort of squatch is much too much for his neck and his mouth and his ears and such. That was all.
If you are sure, Pooh, that that's all, we can now give our minds to the problems of escape. Because we can't go out by what used to be the front door. Something's fallen on it.
But how else can you go out?
That is the problem, Piglet, to which I am asking Pooh to give his mind.
Pooh sat on the floor, which had once been a wall, and gazed up at the ceiling, which had once been another wall, with a front door in it, which had once been a front door, and tried to give his mind to it.
Could you fly up to the letterbox with Piglet on your back?
No, he couldn't.
It's all a matter of the necessary dorsal muscles. That's where the problem resides, with the necessary dorsal muscles. So, as you can appreciate...
Because you see, Owl, if we could get Piglet into the letterbox, he might squeeze through the place where the letters come and climb down the tree and run for help.
The thing is, Pooh, I've been getting bigger lately, and I couldn't possibly, much as I would like to.
But Piglet, I have had my letterbox made bigger lately, in case I got bigger letters, so perhaps you might...
But you said the necessary, you-know-what, wouldn't.
No, they won't. So it's no good thinking about it.
Then we'd better think of something else.
But Pooh's mind had gone back to the day when he had saved Piglet from the flood, and everyone had admired him so much. And as that didn't often happen, he thought he would like it to happen again. And suddenly, just as it had come before, an idea came to him.
Owl, I have thought of something.
Ooh, astute and helpful bear.
I really a stout and helpful bear, Owl. I just happened to think of it.
And what is it?
Well, Owl, you tie a piece of string to Piglet, and you fly up to the letterbox with the other end in your beak, and you push it through the wire and bring it down to the floor, and you and Pooh pull hard at this end, and Piglet goes up slowly at the other end. And there you are.
And there Piglet is, if the string doesn't break.
Supposing it does.
Then we try another piece of string.
This was not very comforting to Piglet, because however many pieces of string they tried pulling him up with, it would always be the same him coming down. But still, it did seem the only thing to do. So with one last look back in his mind at all the happy hours he had spent in the forest, not being pulled up to the ceiling by a piece of string, Piglet nodded bravely at Pooh and said,
"It's a very clever... plan.
It won't break, because you're a small animal, and I'll stand underneath. And if you save us all, it will be a very grand thing to talk about afterwards, and perhaps I'll make up a song, and people will say, 'It was so grand what Piglet did, that a respectful Pooh song was made about it.'"
Piglet felt much better after this. And when everything was ready and he found himself going slowly up to the ceiling, he was so proud that he would have called out,
"Look at me!"
if he hadn't been afraid that Pooh and Owl would let go of their end of the string and look at him.
Up we go!
The ascent is proceeding as expected.
Soon it was over. Piglet opened the letterbox and climbed in. Then, having untied himself, he began to squeeze into the slit, through which, in the old days, when front doors were front doors, many an unexpected letter that Wall had written to himself had come slipping. He squeezed and he squoze, and then with one last squeeze he was out. Happy and excited, he turned round to squeak a last message to the prisoners through the letterbox.
"It's all right. Your tree's blown right over, Owl, and there's a branch across the door. But Christopher Robin and I can move it, and we'll bring a rope for Pooh, and I'll go and tell him now. And I can climb down quite easily. I mean, it's dangerous, but I can do it all right. and Christopher Robin and I will be back in about half an hour. Goodbye, Pooh.
Goodbye, and thank you, Piglet.
Ooh, half an hour. That will just give me time to finish that story I was telling you about my Uncle Robert, a portrait of whom you see underneath you. Now, let me see, where was I? Ooh, yes. It was on just such a blusterous day as this that my Uncle Robert...
Story 9, in which Eeyore finds the Wallery and Owl moves into it.
Pooh had wandered into the 100-acre wood and was standing in front of what had once been Owl's house. It didn't look at all like a house now. It looked like a tree which had been blown down. And as soon as a house looks like that, it is time you tried to find another one. Pooh had had a mysterious message underneath his front door that morning, and while he was wondering what it meant, Rabbit had come in and read it for him.
I am searching for a new house for Owl. So had you, Rabbit.
Is that what it says, Rabbit?
Yes, and I'm leaving one for all the others and telling them what it means, and they'll all search too. I'm in a hurry. Goodbye.
Pooh followed slowly. He had something better to do than to find a new house for Owl. He had to make up a Pooh song about the old one, because he had promised Piglet days and days ago that he would. And whenever he and Piglet had met since, Piglet didn't actually say anything, but you knew at once why he didn't. And if anybody mentioned hums or trees or string or storms in the night, Piglet's nose went all pink at the tip, and he talked about something quite different in a hurried sort of way.
But it isn't easy, because poetry and hums aren't things which you get. They're things which get you. And all you can do is to go where they can find you. Oh. Well, I shall begin, "Here lies a tree," because it does, and then I'll see what happens.
This is what happened.
Here lies a tree, which Owl... a bird, was fond of when it stood on end, and Owl was talking to a friend, called me, in case you hadn't heard, when something, ooh, occurred. For lo, the wind was blusterous, and flattened out his favourite tree, and things looked bad for him and we, looked bad, I mean, for he and us. I've never known them worse. Then Piglet, thought a thing. Courage, he said, there's always hope. I want a thinnish bit of rope, or, if there isn't any, bring a thickish piece of string. So to the letterbox he rose, while Pooh and Owl said oh and hum, and where the letters always come, called letters only, Piglet squoze his head and then his toes. Oh, gallant Piglet, ho! Did Piglet tremble? Did he blinch? No, he struggled inch by inch through letters only, as I know, because I saw him go. He ran and ran, and then he stood and shouted, "Help for Owl, a bird, and Pooh, a bear," until he heard the others coming through the wood as quickly as they could. "Help, help and rescue," Piglet cried, and showed the others where to go. "Sing ho for Piglet, Piglet, ho!" And soon the door was opened wide, and we were both outside. Sing ho for Piglet, ho, ho. So, there it is. It's come different from what I thought it would, but it's come. Now I must go and sing it to Piglet.
I am searching for a new house for Owl. So had you, Rabbit. What's all this? What's the matter with his old house?
It's been blown down.
Nobody tells me. Nobody keeps me informed. I make it 17 days come Friday since anybody spoke to me.
It certainly isn't 17 days.
Come Friday.
And today's Saturday. So that would make it 11 days. And I was here myself a week ago.
Not conversing. Not first one and then the other. You said hello and flashed past. I saw your tail 100 yards up the hill as I was meditating my reply. I had thought of saying what, but of course it was then too late.
Well, I was in a hurry.
No give and take, no exchange of thought. Hello, what? I mean, it gets you nowhere. Particularly if the other person's tail is only just in sight for the second half of the conversation.
It's your fault, Eeyore. You've never been to see any of us. You just stay in this one corner of the forest waiting for the others to come to you. Why don't you go to them sometimes?
There may be something in what you say, Rabbit. I have been neglecting you. I must move about more. I must come and go.
That's right, Eeyore. Drop in on any of us at any time, when you feel like it.
Thank you, Rabbit. And if anybody says in a loud voice, "Bother, it's Eeyore," I can drop out again.
Well, I must be going. I am rather busy this morning.
Goodbye.
What? Goodbye. And if you happen to come across a good house for Owl, you must let us know.
I will give my mind to it.
Pooh had found Piglet, and they were walking back to the 100-acre wood together.
Piglet?
Yes, Pooh.
Do you remember when I said that a respectful Pooh song might be written about you know what?
Did you, Pooh? Oh, yes, I believe you did.
Piglet was getting a little pink round the nose.
It's been written, Piglet.
The pink went slowly up Piglet's nose to his ears and settled there.
Has it, Pooh? About that time when do you mean really written?
Yes, Piglet.
The tips of Piglet's ears glowed suddenly, and he tried to say something, but even after he had husked once or twice, nothing came out.
There are 7 verses in it.
7? You don't often get 7 verses in a hum, do you, Pooh?
Never. I don't suppose it's ever been heard of before.
Do the others know yet?
No. And I wondered which you would like best. For me to hum it now, or to wait till we find the others and then hum it to all of you?
I think what I'd like best, Pooh, is I'd like you to hum it to me now, and then to hum it to all of us, because then everybody would hear it, but I could say, "Oh yes, Pooh's told me," and pretend not to be listening.
So Pooh hummed it to him, all the 7 verses, and Piglet said nothing, but just stood and glowed. For never before had anyone sung ho for Piglet, Piglet ho, all by himself. When it was over, he wanted to ask for one of the verses over again, but didn't quite like to. It was the verse beginning, "O gallant Piglet." And it seemed to him a very thoughtful way of beginning a piece of poetry.
All that.
Well, in poetry, in a piece of poetry, well, you did it, Piglet, because the poetry says you did, and that's how people know.
Oh, because I thought I did blinch a little, just at first. And it says, "Did he blinch? No, no." That's why.
You only blinched inside, and that's the bravest way for a very small animal not to blinch that there is.
Piglet sighed with happiness and began to think about himself. He was brave.
When they got to Owl's old house, they found everybody else there except Eeyore. Christopher Robin was telling them what to do, and Rabbit was telling them again directly afterwards in case they hadn't heard. And then they were all doing it. They had got a rope and were pulling Owl's chairs and pictures and things out of his old house so as to be ready to put them into his new one. Kanga was down below, tying the things on and calling out to Owl,
"You won't want this dirty old dishcloth any more, will you?"
What about this carpet? It's all in holes.
Of course I do. It's just a question of arranging the furniture properly. And it isn't a dishcloth. It's my shawl. Whee! Every now and then, Roo fell in and came back on the rope with the next article, which flustered Kanga a little, because she never knew where to look for him. So she got cross with Owl and said,
"Your house is a perfect disgrace, all damp and dirty. It's quite time it did tumble down. Look at that horrid bunch of toadstools growing out of the corner there."
So Owl looked down, a little surprised, because he didn't know about this, and gave a short, sarcastic laugh. "That's my sponge, Kanga. And if people don't know a perfectly ordinary bath sponge when they see one, well then, things are coming to a pretty pass."
"Well,
I must see Owl's sponge. Oh, there it is. Oh, Owl, it isn't a sponge, it's a spudge. Do you know what a spudge is, Owl? It's when your sponge gets all..."
"Roo, dear, that's not the way to talk to somebody who can spell Tuesday."
But they were all quite happy when Pooh and Piglet came along, and they stopped working in order to have a little rest and listen to Pooh's new song.
So then they all told Pooh how good it was, and Piglet said carelessly,
"It is good, isn't it? As a song."
"And what about the new house? Have you found it, Owl?"
"He's found a name for it, so now all he wants is the house."
"Ooh, I am calling it this."
And he showed them what he had been making. It was a square piece of board with the name of the house painted on it. The Wallery. It was at this exciting moment that something came through the trees and bumped into Owl. The board fell to the ground, and Piglet and Roo bent over it eagerly.
"Oh, it's you!
Hello, Eeyore! There you are! Where have you been?"
Eeyore brushed away Roo and Piglet and sat down on the painted piece of board.
"Good morning, Christopher Robin. Are we alone?"
"Yes.
I have been told. The news has worked through to my corner of the forest, the damp bit down on the right which nobody wants, that a certain person is looking for a house. I have found one for him."
"Ah, well done."
"Christopher Robin, we have been joined by something, but no matter, we can leave it behind. If you will come with me, Christopher Robin, I will show you the house."
"Come on, Pooh."
"Come on, Tigger."
"Shall we go, Owl?"
"Wait a moment."
And Owl picked up his notice board, which had just come into sight again.
"Christopher Robin and I are going for a short walk, not a jostle. If he likes to bring Pooh and Piglet with him, I shall be glad of their company. But one must be able to breathe."
"That's all right. We'll go on getting the things out. Now then, Tigger, where's that rope? What's the matter, Owl?"
Owl, who had just discovered that his new address was The Smear, coughed at Eeyore sternly, but said nothing, and Eeyore, with most of the Wallery close behind him, marched off with his friends.
So, in a little while, they came to the house which Eeyore had found, and just before they came to it, Piglet was nudging Pooh, and Pooh was nudging Piglet, and they were saying,
"It is."
"And?"
"It can't be."
"And?"
"It is, really."
To each other, and when they got there, it really was.
"There."
He had stopped in front of Piglet's house.
"And the name on it, and everything."
"Oh."
"Just the house for Owl. Don't you think so, little Piglet?"
Then Piglet did a noble thing, and he did it in a sort of dream, while he was thinking of all the wonderful words Pooh had hummed about him.
"Yes, it's just the house for Owl, and I hope he will be very happy in it."
Piglet gulped, because, you see, he had been very happy in it himself.
"What do you think, Christopher Robin?"
"Well, it's a very nice house. And if your own home is blown down, you must go somewhere else, mustn't you, Piglet? What would you do if your house was blown down?"
You'd come and live with me, wouldn't you, Piglet?"
Piglet squeezed his paw.
"Thank you, Pooh. I should love to."
Story 10. in which Christopher Robin and Pooh come to an enchanted place, and we leave them there.
Christopher Robin was going away. Nobody knew why he was going. Nobody knew where he was going. Indeed, nobody even knew why he knew that Christopher Robin was going away. But somehow or other, everybody in the forest felt that it was happening at last. Even smallest of all, a friend and relation of Rabbit's, who thought he had once seen Christopher Robin's foot, but couldn't be quite sure, because perhaps it was something else. Even S of A told himself that things were going to be different. And late and early, two other friends and relations said,
"Well, early."
And,
"Well, late."
to each other in such a hopeless sort of way that it didn't really seem any good waiting for the answer.
One day, when he felt that he couldn't wait any longer, Rabbit brained out a notice, and this is what it said.
"Notice, a meeting of everybody will meet at the house at Pooh Corner to pass a resolution by order, kick the left. Signed, Rabbit."
He had to write this out two or three times before he could get the resolution to look like what he thought it was going to when he began to spell it. But when at last it was finished, he took it round to everybody and read it out to them, and they all said they would come. That afternoon, when Eeyore saw them all walking up his path, he said,
"Well, this is a surprise. Am I asked too?"
"Don't mind Eeyore, Pooh. I told him all about it this morning."
"Oh, how do you do, Eeyore?"
"I don't, not to notice."
Then they sat down, and as soon as they were all sitting down, Rabbit stood up again.
"We all know why we're here, but I have asked my friend Eeyore..."
"That's me, Grand."
"I have asked him to propose a resolution. Now then, Eeyore..."
"Don't bustle me. Don't now then me."
He took a piece of paper from behind his ear and unfolded it.
"Nobody knows anything about this. This is a surprise. Whatnots and et ceteras. Before I begin, or perhaps I should say before I end, I have a piece of poetry to read to you. Hitherto, a long word meaning, well, you'll see what it means directly. Hitherto, as I was saying, all the poetry in the forest has been written by Pooh, a bear with a pleasing manner but a positively startling lack of brain. The poem which I am now about to read to you was written by Eeyore, or myself, in a quiet moment. If somebody will take Roo's bullseye away from him and wake up Owl, we shall be able to enjoy it. I call it Poem." "Christopher Robin is going, at least I think he is. Where? Nobody knows, but he is going. I mean, he goes, to rhyme with nose. Do we care, to rhyme with where? We do, very much. I haven't got a rhyme for that is in the second line yet, bother. Now I haven't got a rhyme for bother, bother. Those two bothers will have to rhyme with each other. Bother. The fact is, this is more difficult than I thought. I ought..." "Very good indeed. I ought to begin again, but it is easier to stop. Christopher Robin, goodbye. I..." "Good. I and all your friends sends..." "I mean, all your friend send..." Very awkward, this. It keeps going wrong. "Well, anyhow, we send our love... End." If anybody wants to clap, now's the time to do it. Thank you. Unexpected and gratifying, with a little lacking in smack.
It's much better than mine.
Well, it was meant to be.
The resolution is that we all sign it and take it to Christopher Robin.
So it was signed Pooh, Wall, Piglet, Eeyore, Rabbit, Kanga, and they all went off to Christopher Robin's house with it.
"Hello, everybody. Hello, Pooh."
"Hello, Christopher Robin."
"Hello, Christopher Robin."
But they all felt awkward and unhappy suddenly, because it was a sort of goodbye they were saying, and they didn't want to think about it. So they stood around and waited for somebody else to speak, and they nudged each other and said, "Go on." And gradually Eeyore was nudged to the front, and the others crowded behind him.
"What is it, Eeyore?"
Eeyore swished his tail from side to side, so as to encourage himself, and began.
"Christopher Robin, we've come to say, to give you, it's called, written by, but we've all, because we've heard, I mean, we all know, well, you see, it's, we, you, well, that, to put it as shortly as possible, is what it is. Everybody crowds round so in this forest, there's no space. I never saw a more spreading lot of animals in my life, and all in the wrong places. Can't you see that Christopher Robin wants to be alone? I'm going."
Not quite knowing why, the others began edging away, and when Christopher Robin had finished reading poem and was looking up to say thank you, only Pooh was left.
"It's a comforting sort of thing to have, a poem. Come on, Pooh."
"Where are we going?"
"Nowhere."
So they began going there. And after they had walked a little way, Christopher Robin said,
"What do you like doing best in the world, Pooh?"
"Well, what I like best..."
But then he had to stop and think, because although
eating honey is a very good thing to do, there's a moment just before I begin to eat it which is better than when I am eating it, but I don't know what that moment's called. And being with Christopher Robin is a very good thing to do, and having Piglet near, a very friendly thing to have. All the same,
So, when he had thought it all out, he said,
"What I like best in the whole world is me and Piglet going to see you, and you saying, 'What about a little something?' and me saying, 'Well, I shouldn't mind a little something, should you, Piglet?' and it being a hummy sort of day outside and birds singing."
"I like that too. But what I like doing best is nothing."
"How do you do nothing?"
"Well, it's when people call out at you just as you're going off to do it. 'What are you going to do, Christopher Robin?' And you say, 'Oh, nothing.' And then you go and do it."
"Oh, I see."
"It's a nothing sort of thing that we're doing now."
"Oh, I see."
"It means just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering."
"Oh."
They walked on, thinking of this and that, and by they came to an enchanted place on the very top of the forest called Galleon's Lap, which is 60-something trees in a circle. And Christopher Robin knew that it was enchanted, because nobody had ever been able to count whether it was 63 or 64, not even when he tied a piece of string round each tree after he had counted it.
Being enchanted, its floor was not like the floor of the forest, gorse and bracken and heather, but close-set grass, quiet and smooth and green. It was the only place in the forest where you could sit down carelessly, without getting up again almost at once and looking for somewhere else. Sitting there, they could see the whole world spread out until it reached the sky, and whatever there was all the world over was with them in Galleon's Lap. Suddenly, Christopher Robin began to tell Pooh about some of the things.
"There are people called kings and queens, Pooh. And there's something called factors. And a place called Europe. And an island in the middle of the sea where no ships come. And how to make a suction pump. If you want to, Pooh. And when knights are knighted. And what comes from Brazil."
And Pooh, his back against one of the 60-something trees, and his paws folded in front of him, said,
"Oh."
And...
"I don't know. How wonderful it would be to have a real brain which could tell you things."
And by Christopher Robin came to an end of the things and was silent. And he sat there looking out over the world and wishing it wouldn't stop.
But Pooh was thinking too.
"Is it a very grand thing to be an afternoon? What was it you said?"
"A night."
"Oh, was that it? I thought it was a... Is it... as grand as a king and factors and all the other things you said?"
"Well, it's not as grand as a king."
"Oh, Christopher Robin."
"But it's grander than factors."
"Could a bear be one?"
"Of course he could. I'll make you one."
And he took a stick and touched Pooh on the shoulder.
"Arise, Sir Pooh de Bear, most faithful of all my knights.
So Pooh rose and sat down and said,
Thank you.
Which is the proper thing to say when you have been made a knight. And he went into a dream again, in which he and Sir Pump and Sir Brazil and Factors lived together with a horse and were faithful knights, all except Factors, who looked after the horse, to good King Christopher Robin. And every now and then he shook his head and said to himself,
I'm not getting it right. But think of all the things Christopher Robin will want to tell me when he comes back from wherever he's going to, and how muddling it will be for a bear of very little brain to try and get them right in his mind. So perhaps Christopher Robin won't tell me any more. And does that mean that a faithful knight just goes on being faithful without being told things?
Then suddenly Christopher Robin, who was still looking at the world with his chin in his hand, called out,
Pooh?
Yes?
Pooh?
Yes, Christopher Robin?
I'm not going to do nothing anymore.
Never again?
Well, not so much. They didn't let you.
Yes, Christopher Robin?
Pooh, when I'm not doing nothing, will you come up here sometimes?
Just me?
Yes, Pooh.
Will you be here too?
Yes, Pooh. I will be, really. I promise I will be, Pooh.
Well, that's good.
Pooh, promise me you won't forget about me ever. Not even when I'm 100.
How old shall I be, then?
99.
I promise.
Still with his eyes on the world, Christopher Robin put out a hand and felt for Pooh's paw.
If I'm not quite sure, Pooh, whatever happens, you will understand, won't you?
Understand what?
Oh, nothing. Come on.
Where?
Anywhere.
So they went off together. But wherever they go, and whatever happens to them on the way, in that enchanted place on the top of the forest, a little boy and his bear will always be playing.
That was The House at Pooh Corner by A. A. Milne. Pooh was played by Stephen Fry, Christopher Robin by Stephen Webb. Dame Judi Dench was narrator and Kanga, Michael Williams narrator and Owl. Jane Horrocks played Piglet, Geoffrey Palmer was Eeyore, Robert Dawes played Rabbit, Sandy Toksvig was Tigger and Finty Williams Roo. The music was composed and played by John Gould. Dave Harris was the recording engineer, and The House at Pooh Corner, a Hodder Headline audiobook, was dramatised and directed by David Benedictus.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.